We kick off hour number two. This segment brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com for all their services. They're celebrating 85 years, helping their members grow financially, moving upward and forward with the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. So we've been talking SEC Media Days, of course, and they wrap up today with just a stellar lineup of Gus Malzahn,
not at all.
Mark Stoops. And
not at all. Not at all. The good news is, by the way, I want to go back and touch on something. Make sure I give credit to who asked the question, because it is an important question. Big Josh asked, did the kid from Haywood camp at Tennessee, did Darian Williamson, Tennessee's newest committed wide receiver, camp at UT? He did June 8th.
Mm.
2 weeks after getting an offer, he comes in, he camps, and then a month and a week later, he commits to Tennessee. After also camping at Memphis in June. So that's...
You see this guy in person, you give an offer.
That's Jeremy Pruitt's thing, right? That's one of the ways he finds guys that maybe others don't. Hey, I don't know a lot about you. I've looked at your film. You look good, but you don't have a lot of offers. Why don't you come to camp? Let me see you in person. We'll work it out. Comes to camp, which is weird. He actually got the offer before he came to camp. Maybe it was like a preemptive, hey, you have an offer, but you need to come to camp. And then he comes to camp.
I'm sure it was.
And it seems like after that, it was a, hey, we really, really like you. Why don't you go ahead and commit if you want the spot? You got it.
Well, they know they need a lot of receivers. I mean, they probably, like I said, you want to just lay a foundation. Okay, got one. Now let's get these high-tier guys.
I mean, I don't know for a fact that they're recruiting him at wide receiver, but it certainly seems that that's the deal. I mean, the recruiting sites are kind of laying the line out there of Jeremy Pruitt's, you know, recruiting pitch on stage at SEC Media Days helps you get a guy like Darian Williamson so quickly.
There you go.
So nice job. Nice job by Darian Williamson to come in camp as a rising senior, which a lot of those guys didn't want to do 2 years ago. And he commits. And now we'll just have to wait and see what the plan is for him at Haywood this season. Does he just focus on receiver? Does he continue to bounce around? And then I'm always interested to see what happens with a guy's rankings after an offer and a commitment like this. Because I think Tennessee now has the type of staff where if we're offering and accepting a commit from a guy like this early with so many big receivers on the board, I think a lot of those Rivals guys, 24/7 guys, are now going to go and look at Darian Williamson and try to figure out, hey, how good is this guy? Because Tennessee needs really good receivers, and they're taking his commitment really early. Maybe they know something we don't.
You know, when we first said Hayward, I couldn't place why I remembered that school in Brownsville, Tennessee.
Haywood.
Yes. Yeah.
Haywood.
It's Haywood County, I think, right?
I have no idea.
Because I was unfamiliar with it completely. But I'm pretty sure that's the team that played Greenville in the state championship game last year.
Oh.
And I don't know. I remember being impressed with that, just the quality of play in that whole game from both teams. So
good to know. I was unaware.
Yeah, pretty good recruiting stuff there. Let's go to the Next Door Home Group hotline. We got Philly. He's a big recruiting guy. Philly, what's up?
Good morning, guys. How are y'all doing?
Good, Philly. How about you?
Pretty good. Nate is is there any way you can give the afternoon show a little anger management classes?
Mm.
Maybe go out with Houston fishing or something to calm them down a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Philly, I got to be honest, buddy. This time of year is the toughest on us talkers of sports. It really is. It's kind of like in a lot of industry, you know, it's that late February kind of just people start getting it's like there's nothing really to look forward to. This is kind of the moment for us where everybody gets a little – you know, we just need to take a deep breath and know that football's around the corner. So I'll.
What were they angry about, though, Philly?
Typical, you know, Bear, W, and War Eagle balls.
Were they bickering at each other, or were they angry?
Yeah, I know how they are. I mean, one's like, you know, one's got to get the last day again.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Guys, this commitment's interesting. I think historically Tennessee has done well at that school. I think they've pulled three or four good players out of there, and especially during the majors former era.
You know, I don't know if there's anywhere to find that, Philly. I would love to see, like, the catalog per high school, how many has Tennessee recruited and signed from this high school, from, you know, Marietta, from schools in the mid-state? I think that's always pretty interesting. I would like to see I would that'd be a lot of work to go back over the years and dig that out, but I would love to see kind of the breakdown of where has Tennessee had success, not only just in getting kids, but the kids that have panned out and made a real big impact at the next level.
Well, historically, Tennessee's done well in the small towns in West Tennessee.
Agree.
Some of the best players that's ever played over there. I guess Al Wilson and the big guy Doug Atkins came from a small town in West Tennessee. So,
what was John Henderson not from a fairly small West Tennessee town?
He was. No, he's from Nashville. He went to Pearl Combe.
Oh, that's right. He went to Pearl. Okay.
Yeah, Haywood County is the smallest county by population in the state.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And that's I'm pretty sure it's like their only, you know, public high school. I could be wrong on that one, but Brownsville, the, you know, biggest city in that county. But it, yeah, it's definitely small town.
Just right outside of Memphis.
I don't remember exactly. It's just weird because they were playing Greenville, and I've been here 20 years now, but I didn't grow up in the, you know, I didn't go to like high school in Tennessee. So when I saw them playing Greenville in the state tournament, state finals, I was like, where is this place? And I just remember kind of.
Yeah, it's between Jackson and Memphis, Philly.
Okay. Well, you know, that being said, if Butch Jones or Derek Dilley would have committed this guy, the fan base would be in an uproar.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't know about uproar, but I think the jury is still kind of out on Pruitt. So, I mean, I get why people are going to be a little bit more lenient kind of early on, you know, years one and year two, until we see what is a Jeremy Pruitt three-star ultimately prove to be, as opposed to, you know, Dooley and Butch, which we kind of saw it play out. Hell, even the four and five stars didn't pan out under those two.
I mean, they've done a good job of evaluating talent, though, because a lot of times they get commitments or they're going after people, and then they end up being four or five stars, and the bigger school's stealing them.
That's what happened with Haynes King. I mean, Tennessee got in on Haynes King really early. Some other schools started sniffing around. And then Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher ultimately get his commitment yesterday. I guess it's good, right? I mean, the fact that your staff is so good at identifying talent, at finding some of those guys that maybe other people have overlooked, I think that's a very good quality. And if you can improve your program along the way, that'll pay dividends in the end. But it stinks because especially last year and then this year, was it Elijah Young? Was that the receiver they found in Atlanta? He was a no-star, Philly. I mean,
he went to Florida State.
It didn't even exist. And then all of a sudden they start looking at his film and looking at his tape. He ends up being a four-star and he signs with Florida State. So when you're good and can do that, it's incredible. The problem is, you know, Tennessee was not the shiniest of pearls for a few years, especially right as Jeremy Pruitt got here. Yeah. So hopefully guys like – and the fact that he's in-state will obviously help too. But as Jeremy Pruitt kind of proves himself and improves the program and hopefully gets Tennessee back to a level of respectability, you're not going to find those guys and then worry about losing them. You're going to find them, and then they're going to want to come to Tennessee.
It's ironic that you were talking about Big Josh a minute ago, and he's a big Harrison Bailey fan, if that's the same Josh I'm thinking you're talking about. All honesty, we got to hope that this is the future of our Tennessee football program, because we need a 100% quarterback to go to the next level and quick.
Yep, I agree with you. He's got all the potential, man. Thanks, Philly. Thanks for the phone call. I mean, there are guys in mid and north Georgia right now, coaches, saying he's the best since Trevor Lawrence, and really it's those two and a lot of other people in the last few years. That good as far as arm talent, as far as understanding the game, accuracy, everything like that. And I'm certainly guilty of it. You kind of, I don't want to say overlook what you have or take it for granted, but I think a lot of people kind of got turned on to the Haynes King thing, and there was a little bit of a debate between some people of, well, would you rather have this guy, would you rather have that guy? And we discussed that debate. The good news is you still have one really, really good elite level quarterback in this class. The bad news is you're going to need to sign another one ASAP, and then depending on what happens with Garantano this year, there's some speculation, I don't know if this is fair or not, that he may go pro, but there's also some speculation that he graduates, and if he doesn't have a good season or if things kind of go south, he may look to grad transfer out. So Tennessee definitely needs to sign two quarterbacks this year. The good news is you've got one. With Haynes King off the board, I think Bailey's now locked in. But I am curious to see now what do they do to fill spot number two. Haynes King, when they first found him, was an unknown dual-threat guy from Texas who could sling it. Do they look for more of a dual-threat guy to go along with Harrison Bailey now? Or do they try to find a JT Schrout, Brian Maurer type, which is high on potential but maybe needs some work to get there? Very interesting to see which way Tennessee goes now at quarterback.
I think this is very player-dependent. But do you think it's better for a quarterback to not always be looking over his shoulder to see if he's going to be replaced or if the coaches like, you know,
in an ideal world, yes. But it's also human nature, especially at that position, right? This is an offensive line where, hey, if you don't work out at left tackle, you can play right tackle. If you don't work out at a tackle spot, you can play a guard spot, or maybe we move you to center. There's five positions. Receiver, there's two, three, or four on the field. Tight end, it's usually one or two, and there's a rotation. Running back, I mean, everybody's running back by committee now. Quarterback's quarterback, like you're it. The two QB system is rare to see it have any success, let alone the ultimate success. So I get it if you're a quarterback, even one as good as Harrison Bailey, that you would be a little bit nervous and a little bit eyebally of you're bringing in another guy who's ranked as high or higher than me. Like, wait a minute. What's the plan here? Because Harrison Bailey is a quarterback. He started for many years in high school. Like, he wants to play quarterback. And if you've got to wait for a senior or an upperclassman, that's different, right? Because he's already there. But the immediate, like, I'm not the best in my class at my position, which is one spot on the field at a time, I understand why that would be a little eyebrow-raising for Harrison Bailey. I don't think that was his situation. I mean, otherwise he would have started looking around.
Correct.
And stopped recruiting for Tennessee and played the my feelings are hurt game.
Yeah.
I guess, but I was just asking the question because even last year, like, people didn't even see Keller Chris take a snap and they were ready to put Jared Garantano on the bench. 100%.
100%.
And so that certainly didn't help his mental game going into the season. And I'm not saying it would have affected Harrison Bailey at all, but I feel like him coming in knowing that it's kind of his job to lose once Garantano's not there. And, heck, he could even – I mean, let's not throw out the possibility that he could come in and compete next season for the starting job. I just think it bodes better for Bailey not to have Haynes King on campus.
But he's going to have somebody else
right
in his class. So, I mean, there's always going to be somebody. And just because a guy has five stars or three stars, it doesn't really mean much once you get to campus.
Yep.
As of now, Tennessee has two offers out to quarterbacks who are not committed. Drake Baker of Deetsville, Alabama, pro-style quarterback, three-star, 6'4", 215. And dual-threat Malik Hornsby from Fort Bend Marshall High School, Missouri City, Texas. He's a dual-threat, 6'2", 175, four-star. Tennessee is listed as cool on both. And my guess is you're going to see quite a few offers go out in the next couple months to some other quarterbacks. My guess is Jim Chaney and Chris Winkie probably just got the, your work's not done, you better go find us another Haynes King, but don't bring any attention to him.
I just watched a Darren Williamson film. I'll give you my take on
that. Was it 46 seconds?
No.
Did you find it? Oh, you found the long one?
Yeah. So I'll give you my take there. Philly asked a really good question about comparing the reaction to taking a player with his profile list for this coaching staff as compared to others. Also, Cole Kublik made some comments about Tennessee's coaching staff. We'll get to that.
I think all that kind of ties in together.
This
if you
hour,
ask me.
Yep. So a lot more Tennessee football talk up next right here on 3 and Out.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. If you want to watch some Darian Williamson highlights, I found his on his Max Preps page. Houston had a longer video, so if you're into that sort of thing, the three-star out of Brownsville, Tennessee, Haywood County High School. You know, it's funny. A lot of his highlights are of him on defense. I think this is Pruitt taking a guy who's 6'3", still pretty thin, runs,
I guess he doesn't jump off the screen like with speed, but he has the build of, you know, the way that a lot of these SEC guys look. Clemson has a safety that is just like a complete athletic freak. The dude, he's like tall and long like a defensive end, but he's like too skinny to be a defensive end. Mm-hmm. And then he's playing safety, but he just like is as fast as all the wide receivers. And
like Sean Taylor?
I mean, just it. He was a nightmare for Notre Dame and then Alabama. And just, he's everywhere. Anyway, those types of players, like that's ideal, right? I mean, like that's what everybody's looking for. And I think this is Pruitt taking a kid who has the right body type. I mean, when you take a guy who's a lower ranked player, you have to see how that player could develop.
And
into,
he camped. Like Pruitt has seen him up close and personal and said, yeah, like this guy. That's all I needed to
there
see.
There weren't, you know, on the film, there's not that many, like, high-level, you know, routes and catches and stuff. But on the balls he did catch, you know, he did catch the ball away from his body. And he definitely, like, I mean, he tackles. Like, there are tons and tons of him chasing tackle, blowing up blocks. There's even
probably a
there's
good blocker.
Even, there's even film. Yeah, well, there's even films of him destroying guys as the other guys. On
he's
the team
probably
run
the replacement for Juwan Jennings. Not the fastest, but a physical freak, a nightmare, a guy who doesn't shy away from contact, a guy who has a little chip on his shoulder.
I'm not kidding. I mean, Pruitt might look at this guy and be like, you know, if we put a little weight on him, the way he tackles, he might become
that's,
a safety.
Well, that's why I said I don't know what position they have him slotted for, but.
Don't we think Pruitt takes more of a high school approach? Like, I just want to – if you said
– Well, he kind of has to.
I'm going to give you the best 25 athletes, but I won't tell you what position they are. Or you can – you have to pick you get a little better player here or there, but you have to keep them at the same position. Wouldn't Pruitt say, no, let me manage the roster. Give me the 25 just best pure talents.
Well, my guess –
and I'll figure it out.
Well, that's the thing, though. My guess is he knows exactly where he wants him. We just don't know that yet.
That's a good point.
I mean, that's what he said at SEC Media Days about this year. He said, you know, with our first class, we had a lot of guys coming in. We weren't exactly sure where we wanted to put a few of them, so we would try them on offense. We would try them on defense, and we did that with some players that were already on the team. One of the best things about this year was all those guys from last year and the guys that were already on the team, we knew where we wanted them, and for the guys we signed, we knew where we wanted them. That was one of the reasons Crouch lost the fifth star was because is he going to play running back? Is he going to play linebacker? And Jeremy Pruitt said, no, we knew he was going to come in and play linebacker. That was where we wanted him. We had him slotted. So I think Pruitt looks at a guy like Darian Williamson and knows exactly where he wants to put him.
Well, like based you said, on whatever, especially if he goes
based
to
on
camp.
What, yeah, based on whatever he saw in camp. He said, oh, no, we've got this. And maybe that'll start to go around the, you know, the water cooler at Rivals and 24/7. Oh, Jeremy Pruitt actually thinks this guy's an elite wide receiver. He just plays in an offense that doesn't throw the ball a ton. But the way he catches it, the way he's physical, body control, speed, that type of thing. It's very likely that Jeremy Pruitt will out scout some of these guys when given an opportunity. And again, especially if the guy goes to camp. I mean, Darian Williamson, if you look at his profile page, he has like 5 entries as far as things he's done. And it's a camp at Tennessee, a camp at Memphis, an offer from both of those schools, and committing to Tennessee. Like it's like he just got on to people's radar. So I'm going to wait and see and not sit back and, oh, 3-star you and wah, 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 because I want to see where this guy kind of ends up at the end of the year, especially now that Jeremy Pruitt kind of knows where he's going to go and people can evaluate him as such. Sure, he might still have to play 3-4 positions in high school, but if people can evaluate him knowing he's going to play 1 at the next level, he becomes much easier to project as a prospect at that position. So I'm on wait-and-see mode. But I do understand why people would say, why are we taking off, you know, commits from 3-stars with no offers out of middle of nowhere Tennessee? I get that. But let's hold off on the Jeremy Pruitt doesn't know what he's doing yet. He did that to Roman Harrison last year, and by the end of the recruiting cycle, Roman Harrison had jumped, you know, a couple hundred spots, and everybody's thinking, wow, this guy may be an immediate impact type player. I'm going to sit back and pump the brakes a little bit on guys like that because Jeremy Pruitt, at least rankings-wise with Harrison, he really climbed. And then there were a few others last year, if I'm not mistaken, that took kind of big jumps.
Yep.
So I'm gonna sit back and wait. But yeah, I get it. I mean, you look at the commit list now. You just got Keyshawn Lawrence, who everybody thinks is good. Harrison Bailey might move up and get the fifth star. Four-star Antonio Johnson from East St. Louis. Dom Bailey, defensive tackle from Baltimore. Art Green, the JUCO corner. And then after Cooper Mays, four-star center, who I think did a really nice job at the five-star challenge. But then it's three-star T. Hodge, three-star Lovie Jenkins, three-star Jimmy Calloway, three-star Darian Williamson, three-star Javontez Spraggins, and Will Albright's a two-star, but he's the best long snapper in the nation, and you better sign one every couple of years or you're going to be in big trouble. But people love to see the four and the five-stars. I totally get that. Tennessee, by the way, now up to 12 commitments in the 2020 class, 26th nationally. The big problem with 26th nationally is you're 11th in the SEC as of now. But let's wait and see where the rankings kind of finalize before jumping all over a kid for committing. Because with this staff, again, as I said going into break, you would think that they would be able to identify talent with the best of them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And also, I don't know, the older I get, the less I believe in the recruiting numbers anyway. I know, people will throw out, well, every national champion has X amount in the top whatever.
Or is it backwards? Is it teams that everybody knows are good are bumped up in the recruiting rankings so that the recruiting rankings can say they're right? Is it a retroactive ranking?
You want to know the one team that hasn't fit the profile? Clemson. You want to know the one team that as they win national championships now?
Initially they didn't, and now they do. Yeah, I get you.
I mean, that kind of proves the data. And if you've ever, I had a statistics emphasis in college. If you study this stuff, this is the type of this is why there's lies, damn lies, and statistics. Is because that. I mean, I do think it's absolutely backwards. We see it over and over and over. Fake, but it's kid one of those gets things. An offer from Georgia, all of a sudden, three star.
Well, doesn't right, but like exist. You said, like you might be wrong on Clemson the first time,
right.
That they do it, right? But then all of a sudden, you adjust their recruiting rankings every year because you think, yeah, these guys are actually really, really good. Then they win a couple more championships, and oh yeah, well look, they fit our profile. They were top 10 last year.
Right.
They were top 5 the year before. But if they weren't winning 9 games, would you still have them that high? Exactly. They work in conjunction, and they're really not supposed to. It's supposed to be we scout players, we grade them, they go to schools, that's it. But we know for a fact a kid gets an offer from Tennessee. Yeah, he might get a star bump, a little ratings boost. A kid gets an offer from Alabama. Oh, my God, probably a 4 or 5 star. Has to be if Nick Saban wants him. Which is a credit to Nick Saban and his staff. Like, they've proven they can identify talent probably better than some guys sitting on a computer desk at Rivals. No offense. Or 24/7. I'm not knocking those guys that do that job. But with this staff and Jeremy Pruitt, who's been with Nick Saban, with Jim Chaney, who's been with Kirby Smart, because I think you can go ahead and throw Georgia in that mix now that Kirby Smart's there. Not to mention all the other guys from Florida and Georgia and Florida State and Alabama. You would think that Tennessee would start to get some credit, and that's what I was saying to Philly. Once they start winning, you'll probably see that adjustment take place by 24/7 and by Rivals, assuming they do ultimately win. But until then, I understand why if I'm Rivals and 24/7, I'm not going to bump Tennessee players just because they commit there. Uh-uh. Prove it. And then once you do, we can adjust accordingly. It's really a smart business plan. You're like the bullwhip on the success of college football. Like, you're just slightly behind, but then you catch up and ride the wave. Pretty genius.
Yeah. And then, every time people challenge you, you say, well, every national champion's had at least this. And then you just move that stat to fit. If Clemson was, if you used to say every national championship has at least 3 out of 4 classes in their top 5. Well, if Clemson was at 7, you say, in their top 7, ten, or 9.
Whatever. That's what I'm saying. It's like a moving target that they get to choose.
Exactly. A little more on Darian Williamson on the flip side. Tell you what he said about his commitment. And apparently he ran a pretty fast 40 when he camped here. We'll hit that next.
Oh, really?
Stick with us.
Not to mention what an SEC analyst had to say about Jeremy Pruitt's staff. This is the take of all takes, I think.
You got all that coming up for you next. Seem like it's Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. If you want to weigh in on the program, give us a shout on the Next Door Home Group Hotline, 865-546-8200. And if you're buying or selling, you can check them out at nextdoorhomes.com. They're top five in the real estate market right here in Knoxville using their revolutionary marketing techniques for you. It's Eli Corlman, his team with Keller Williams. It's the Next Door Home Group. And they're online at nextdoorhomes.com. So, Darren Williamson, look, a lot of Philly was right. A lot of the, you know, the like Dooley staff, Butch's staff, they would have gotten criticized for taking this player, especially farther into the tenure. That's going to be that way with any coaching staff. Like any coaching staff, the further you get in.
Why aren't they all 4 and 5 stars?
It's going to be that way. So I get that dynamic of the conversation. I subscribe less and less to the rankings. And when, I mean, really, if you watch Tennessee play last year, you know, I mean, Missouri looked like they had better football players. Vanderbilt looked like they had better football players.
Yeah, that's a development thing too, right?
So
It's all that. But like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the stars alone will not save you.
True.
Right? I mean, like, that I think that's the one thing we've seen. Schools like Missouri, schools like Vanderbilt, schools like Kentucky.
Washington
get a
State.
Bunch of three-star – well, I was going to go there too.
Sorry.
But no, but that's a little bit maybe different because it's a unique system. But it's still the development thing. They're developed in their system, and by the time they're juniors and seniors, even though they were three stars, they're ready to go. They can compete at that level because they can execute, because they're bigger and stronger. We did the opposite under Butch Jones. We got the 4 and 5 star guys early, but we didn't develop them. We didn't teach them. We didn't raise their level, really, once they got here. They might have gotten a little bigger, a little stronger, but not really. Now you're seeing, hopefully, the opposite. I mean, Billy mentioned it the other day. Elante Taylor looks like he's gained 18 inches on his biceps since last season. So if we start to see the physical development, I think we all feel pretty good about the mental aspect with this coaching staff. You can stack your roster in a way to where, yeah, you want to get those 5-star guys, those 4-star guys that can come in and make an immediate impact. But then you've also got some guys who, hey, after a year or two in the program, he's going to be right there. And then maybe he comes from an underdeveloped high school. Maybe he was playing out of position. Maybe they didn't have a good strength and conditioning program. Maybe he was playing in a system that just didn't make sense for what his skill set was. That's when you just have to – and I think early it's important. It's inevitable that we're going to use evidence that we have collected from Derek Dooley and Butch Jones and kind of cast that on to Jeremy Pruitt. It's like, oh, we've seen this before. This can't work. I think it's important early on in Jeremy Pruitt's tenure that we refrain from doing that until proven otherwise. Right? If Darian Williamson never makes a play for Tennessee, if Roman Harrison never reaches any type of level to where you think, yeah, he was worth the take, he was worth kind of the hype, I totally understand that. But until we are proven right or wrong in that, I don't see the benefit in bemoaning 3-star commitments on Twitter. This is a guy who came to camp. He ran for the coaches. He worked out for the coaches. He got the offer, and they recruited him even harder, and then ultimately he commits like a month later. That tells me that this is not a, well, we got to get a receiver, and this guy, I don't know, he's okay. Let's go ahead and take him. This seems like a guy they really wanted. I mentioned it. All the current players and the recruits in this class, they were all tweeting at him, blowing him up yesterday, congratulating him, saying, we got one. This is a big deal. That doesn't feel like, we offered him earlier and he committed. Cool. Feels a little different this time.
Yep. It's Darren Williamson. He's 6'3", 190 pounds out of Brownsville, Tennessee, Haywood High School. Apparently when he camped, he ran a 4.5 at Tennessee's indoor facility, and the coaches were just like, whoa, okay.
And then he didn't know how to run a 40.
Yeah, and he just kind of lied.
This was
kinda,
not a, I know what I'm doing. Yeah, yeah.
So thinks he can get faster, too. He said the coaches have told him they like him on both sides of the ball.
Oh, great.
So, I'm telling you, he's got the body type. So
he could be Elante Taylor that ultimately sticks at receiver, potentially.
Yeah.
Or also on defense. It's just weird. I mean, 6'3", 190, that feels like a safety. If there's one place they've recruited really well the past couple of years, it's probably corner and safety. You think receiver.
Yeah. Well, he said he would probably prefer to play offense if he had to pick.
There you go.
But either side, you know, he likes to tackle too and all that kind of stuff. Isaiah Simmons is the Clemson player I was thinking about. He's 6'3", 225.
Sean Taylor, 6'2", 230.
Yeah, and runs like a receiver.
So if we get
– tackles like a linebacker.
Yeah. Who knows, man? Maybe the Williamson kid can gain 50 pounds and play outside linebacker. Maybe he can be the next Darrell Taylor. Again, I think it's just a matter of kind of trusting the staff at this point.
Yeah,
because we keep saying how good the staff is. Jeremy Pruitt keeps saying 16 national championships. We know what great looks like, and people are like, yeah. And then they take a commitment, and it's like, what are you doing? Hey! Maybe it's because they know what great looks like. Like, I just don't think Jeremy Pruitt's a guy who's going to just fill the numbers to fill the numbers and boost the recruiting rankings. And if he was going to do that, I don't think he would do it with 3 stars. I think he'd take 4 stars that aren't going to qualify or 4 stars that are overrated. He's saying, nah, this 3 stars better than a couple guys who want to come here right now. We're going to go ahead and take his commitment.
Listen, I hate the I trust the coaches because they're the coaches and you're not take. Like, that's – like, at some point it goes from – like – I don't know why. Like,
at some point,
if you say it one way, I'm fine with it. But when you imply that other people aren't allowed to have an opinion, that's when it bothers me. So there's a fine line there. But here's an example, and I swear I did not even know this when I started talking about Isaiah Simmons at Clemson. He just jumped off the screen when they blasted Notre Dame and then beat Alabama.
Yeah,
he led them in tackles last year. They list him as a linebacker. Everyone else, every website lists him as a safety.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's an animal. He's 6'3", 225 now, as I mentioned. Pulled up his recruiting profile. He's from Kansas. Kind of a weird spot to find a just absolute stud tackle machine that's on the best team in the country, right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
When he came out of high school, he's 6'3", 205.
Oh.
He was ranked 451 when he committed to Clemson. 3-star. So you can say that, well, we recruit these level players, we'll never get to the top. It's not true. It just isn't. Now, if you take all of these types of players, if your whole class is a bunch of 450-ranked or 800-ranked 3-stars, yeah, you're going to suck. It just is what it is. You can't hit on all of them.
Hmm.
But if you like a kid, if you think if he's come to camp and you know what? So what if you miss on one or two? Guess what? You're gonna miss on 1 or 2 4 and 5 stars too.
Yeah, I mean you kind of have to miss. I mean, if you sign 25 every year, that's 100.
Exactly.
You can only have 85. So you're actually you have to miss. Just saying. You don't want to miss a lot, obviously.
So but like
it's gonna happen.
Yeah. To criticize one take, I don't mean like opinion. To criticize the staff for one player that they take that isn't like to criticize recruiting over one player is just never a good idea. Just have a little patience.
Well, in fairness, I think the people who are on that side of the argument right now are saying that it's not one player, it's many. Right now.
Okay.
So, I kind of see their point, but it's like we said a couple months ago when Tennessee was like 38 in recruiting. Like, just wait and see kind of what happens. Yeah. The guys rise and fall. Who else do you sign? You're in on some big names. Let's not bury this thing before it's dead, so to speak. Cole Kublik of SEC Network was asked recently about Jeremy Pruitt's staff. Again, the staff who is selecting these guys and taking their commitments and recruiting them and going on the road and watching the film. I do not remember the last time I heard someone say this other than Butch Jones. I do not remember the last time an outsider looked at Tennessee's staff and said, quote, I believe Tennessee has the best staff in the SEC. That's what Cole Kublik said this week. Again, SEC Network analyst, college football analyst, calls games, he's in the booth, talks to the coaching staff on many, many teams. This is not some Joe Schmo Tennessee fan. This is a guy who, I mean, his job is college football. And he said this week, I believe Jeremy Pruitt has the best staff in the SEC. This is a guy who played for Auburn. He was a center from 96 to 2001. And he joined ESPN in 2011 covering SEC football. So this guy's been covering SEC football now for 7-8 years for ESPN. And when asked this week about the upgrades that Jeremy Pruitt has made to his staff, said, yeah, looking at it right now, they probably have the best staff in the SEC, period. Not East, the SEC.
We'll debate that take on the other side. You don't want to miss it. Final segment, hour number two next. Final segment, hour number two. Cole Kublik. I always thought he was kind of a Georgia homer.
Auburn grad.
Maybe he's got the reverse bias, you know, where you want to make sure that you're not too homerish, but so you almost go against your own school. And, of course, Auburn, Georgia, they have that weird oldest rivalry thing that I never even think of. When you say best rivalries in college football, I never even think of that one, but it is their little east-west crossover deal. Best staff in the SEC. You know, you said that as we were planning the show, and at first I was like, eh? And then I went, I mean, pretty quickly, I don't even know that it's that debatable. Alabama has the guy that we talked about as the backup plan for OC. You took Georgia's OC, and I don't care what Georgia people say. Like, they are worse without Jim Chaney.
Oh, yeah, they deny it, but they are.
I rewatched Florida-Georgia from last year.
Uh-huh.
First of all, Dan Mullen's a hell of a play caller, too, but Chaney was just... I think Fromm threw, like, three passes in the first half. Georgia was up, you know, pretty good.
Now, obviously, you factor in the head coach. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the staff, like from top assistant to bottom assistant.
Correct.
Like, who's second? I don't even know. Now, part of it is that Jeremy Pruitt doubled down at his own position. He brings in Derek Ansley, a, you know, NFL-level DC, pays him a lot of money, brings over Jim Chaney, of course, puts an extra coach on the offense than the defense. And so he basically has, you know, a veteran. You know what's painful about this is what we said he should do when the day he was hired. Like, Jeremy Pruitt gets hired, and you and I are like, okay, the thing that's going to determine his success is who is his offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
And he goes, Tyson Helton, and it's like,
Western Kentucky threw the ball around a lot. He was at USC. Okay, maybe.
We knew. We had a pretty good idea. Yeah. But Jim Chaney fits the profile, the type of guy we said he should have got from the get-go. He finally made that move. And then he like, the reason Florida doesn't have an offensive coordinator you've heard of is because Dan Mullen calls the plays. The reason that, you know, it sometimes doesn't even matter who Nick Saban has as the DC is because it's his defense, and they just execute his game plan, and as long as they don't screw it up, it's going to work. I mean, in Alabama, I don't even know that you would notice if your defensive coordinator wasn't a great play caller until, like, the playoff or the SEC championship game.
That's what Dabo said yesterday at ACC Media Days. He said Nick could change his staff top to bottom for 20 years in a row and it's not going to matter because everything else is in place. Like, everything, he knows exactly what he wants to do, when he wants to do it, what the offense and defense are supposed to look like. It really doesn't matter. But if we're talking actual, you know, you could say, I guess, based on that logic, Alabama's going to have the best staff every year because they all work under Nick Saban. He's the best boss, so thus the staff is the best. But if we're actually just grading individuals on their contributions to the team and what they've done before, you could make a pretty strong argument right now for Jeremy Pruitt as having the best top-to-bottom staff in the SEC. I mean, in fact, I remember when he was hired, I was kind of like Niedermeyer. Like, that one doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Oh, he's just the best recruiter in the country. T. Martin, great track record of recruiting and coaching wide receivers at USC. David Johnson is now your running backs coach, and he was sensational coaching receivers at Memphis. Chris Winkie, now your quarterbacks coach, was the head coach at IMG, coached in the NFL, won a Heisman and a national championship at quarterback at the collegiate level. Derek Ansley has won championships at multiple places and was just with the Raiders. We know about Jim Chaney and what he's done just about everywhere he's been, regardless of the quarterback situation he inherits.
Nope.
I mean, I guess the weak link right now, based on what we've seen, would be Will Friend. Yeah?
Yeah.
And 1 year with a new offensive line that suffered a lot of injuries, Will Friend has a chance to kind of prove himself as worthy this year. He certainly recruited well at offensive line, so you can't knock him there. So we'll have to see about development in year two. Craig Fitzgerald is widely respected across the strength and conditioning world, and now he's, what, the second highest paid strength and conditioning coach in the country. Tennessee now the number two staff in the country as far as salary pool.
So I guess that number went up from yesterday when Niedermeyer got his extension.
That's right. It went up. That's right. Oh, we might be in first place now. We might have just passed Ohio State. I'd have to go check. So you're paying for it. Don't get me wrong. But if you break down all the staffs in the SEC, especially between the last 3 years, what certain schools have lost and what Tennessee has gained, well, looking pretty good. I don't think anybody was disappointed when Tyson Helton left. Assuming you could fill that with a pretty good coach or hire, you went out and got Jim Chaney. Again, a guy who's done it every way possible, everywhere possible. That's an upgrade. And then what was ironic about that is I thought you had a good wide receivers coach in David Johnson. You didn't lose him. You just bumped into running backs. Like, he's still in the room. You know what I'm saying? He's still on the field. He can still help out. But you also went and got a guy in T. Martin who's been a National Recruiter of the Year, I think twice, and finished second two more times. He can recruit. USC, really, there are certain positions that it's more about the recruiting than the coaching, in my opinion. I think wide receiver, probably one of those. Running back, probably one of those. So you've got two good ones there. Obviously, Winky, not quarterback. Just mentioned him. That's going pretty good. Defense, I don't think I need to list the accolades of the defensive staff. They've won championships just about everywhere they've been. So, yeah, I'd say it's up there. And then, as Jeremy Pruitt said, if we're counting title rings, I'll take my guys in a title ring debate over just about anybody. They know what great looks like. They've seen it at many different stops. And I think that's what's cool. It's not like this was a staff who was all at Alabama at mixed times and has won a championship at Alabama. They've won championships at Florida State. They've been in the hunt for championships at Georgia, at Florida. I mean, it's a staff with ties to the Southeastern Conference footprint. It's a staff with national recruiting ties, but certainly I think the state of Georgia probably gets the nod when you're talking about where this staff likes to recruit. Yeah, man, this is what a staff is supposed to look like when you're talking about one of the potential best staff in the country conversations. You know, it's funny, yesterday I was watching ACC Media Days, and they were talking about Dabo Swinney and his staff after – they had discussed what had gone on in Alabama. Something like Alabama has had in the last, like Nick Saban in his time at Alabama has had something crazy, like 40-something coaches turnover. Dabo Swinney's had like three. Like, everyone's like, when's Brent Venables going to be a head coach? And Brent's like, I don't. I'm at Clemson. This is the best job in the world. Same with his co-offensive coordinators, all of his D-line, O-line, they just love it there. That's one way to do it. Nick Saban is great, so he can cycle through and still have that type of success. But if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you probably need to have a bunch of guys who have done it, but who also you can get and get to stay for a while. It seems like that's what he's done with the staff he's put together. I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to lose some staff members from time to time, but this feels like a staff that, especially with, you know, Ansley and Chaney, that are going to be here for at least a few years. I would think.
I'm just chewing on that a little bit. If Pruitt had success, would he be more like Dabo or more like Saban?
I think it'd be a mix. Sam Smith tweets in, says, Ole Miss and Texas A&M have better staffs, top to bottom.
I mean, this is the guy. Does he listen or not listen? This is the guy.
No,
that
he listens.
Tweets back.
You have Matt Luke as your head coach. I don't think you can be qualified for.
We did say we would.
Matt Luke's good.
We'll look these up.
Who did they just hire as their OC? They got someone pretty good. Oh, they got Rich Rod. That's a good one. Like, that's a good hire. We'll see how that works in the SEC, though. I get it. Rich Rod's a big name. He's been a head coach, but so had Brady Hoke. How'd that work out? So I'm pressing pause on Rich Rod at Ole Miss being the savior of Rebel football. I don't know enough about Jimbo's staff at A&M to make a... What are you looking at?
Mike McIntyre? Defensive coordinator for Ole Miss? Nah, that's not the guy I thought it was. Never mind.
Okay.
I had him mixed up with the former...
Jim McIntyre from Colorado?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Sorry about that.
Thought that might be what that
was. Yeah. We'll check those out. We'll appreciate the feedback. You can weigh in on the next group.
Also, the best staff in the SEC being at Ole Miss does not scare me at all. I mean, it's like saying if Vandy had the best staff. It's like, well, yeah, fine. you're still I mean, put under the thumb. Yeah. Like, I think it's...
That's the debate. No, I'm glad somebody's at least throwing some out there. Because I didn't even think to consider Ole Miss. Now, A&M, that's on the radar.
Also, frankly, if the other two options are in the West and not on our schedule every year, I'm okay with that.
Sure. But I like that. I like thinking outside the box that maybe there are some that you could say are better. But like you said, I mean, it doesn't matter. You just want the best staff you can have. It doesn't... Having the best staff isn't an automatic.
I want a really good staff. Where if they're 1, 2, or 3, I'll live with like, that. But as long as they're not 13, 14, or 15,
sure.
Which 15 wouldn't exist unless they're just really bad.
Well, yeah, Butch Jones.
That was sub level.
Chico Canales. We'll kick off hour number 3 next.
That staff wasn't SEC caliber.